you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, Doug Millard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
Where are you?
Philadelphia.
Oh, getting some of that freedom.
Yeah, freedom.
Philadelphia Freedom. Is that still the name of like a team there?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that Elton John wrote that song, Philadelphia Freedom, and then I think a team picked up that name, you know, where the Freedoms or whatever.
Whoa.
But I forget what it was, what kind of team, and if there's still, if that's still a thing.
Lacrosse?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm not sure of. It could be like just some kind of obscure, or, you know, I mean, it's, you know, like could be like what's not the major leagues? What's it called? Like the B?
Minor leagues.
Yeah. Maybe a minor league team.
Yeah.
And that's the weird part is like there's minor leagues kind of in all of the sports, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It's wild. There's so much sports going on. What was your reaction when I told you via text who our guest was going to be today?
I did a backflip, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited.
I was very excited. The backflip did not land though, so it hurt, but I'm still excited.
All right. Well, it's true that we have a great guest today, Jason Ritter, who is not only the son of the great Joan Ritter, but seems to have gotten all of his nice guy genes because he's super nice. And you might know him from Kevin Probably Saves the World, Another Period, Drunk History. I'm drunk right now, by the way.
All right.
Just kidding. I'm high. Let's go to work. Here we go. Hello, Jason Ritter. How are you doing, man?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing?
You know, our Doug Millard, who is, I assume the two of you are meeting for the first time.
Yep.
he's in Philadelphia, and I'm in California, but heading to the Chicago area this weekend.
Oh, nice.
And yeah,
that's where we're at. I'm in Vancouver.
You are?
Yeah, so there's a little triangle between all of us.
We're all over the place. What's happening in Vancouver? You're shooting something?
No, my wife Melanie is shooting something up here. So we're here until the end of the month.
Oh, look at you. Just hanging out in Vancouver. What do you do like all day?
I do lots of dad stuff. I eat food. I walk around. I do some video games. You know, all the fun stuff.
Summer's pretty. I like summer in Vancouver. It's nice.
It is. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Yeah. And then you get a little bit of rain here and there, which is great. You know, which I love always.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah, it's like a warm summer rain. Mm-hmm. And on this show, what we basically do is we, you know, bring a guest in and talk about our name that we're both Dougs and your name in this case, Jason.
Yeah.
Seems like, you know, a good name, Jason, like solid.
Right? Yeah. It's pretty solid. You know, there's some cool little, tricks to it. You know, I remember there was a time when I was a kid and, a guy in a restaurant whose name was Jason said, "Oh, your name is Jason. You ever know about July, August, September, October, November?" No, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he said, "Take the first letter of each of those months in order." Anyway, that's an exciting little Jason trick.
I love that. Like, so once that guy told you that, like, that you just have that ready to go.
I have that ready for you. You guys are the first non-Jasons I've told that to. I'm not sure if I'm like going against the official Jason code, but yeah, it's a thing like, "Hey, oh, your name is Jason. Check this out. Look at all the months. Notice anything?" but yeah, it's an okay name. And then like, you know, it's weird to have a name that a lot of people seem to have. I mean, it's not like, in the most popular name, but you meet one or two. And I remember at a certain point in my life, I was like, "I've met 3 Jasons." And I was like, "I met 17 Jasons." And I was like, I lost count. And also a lot of people have had bad experiences with Jasons. I've heard like a lot of people like, "Well, I have to overcome some previous bad Jason behavior." Like, "Oh, Jason, I'm at a Jason." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, some, I guess, I don't know what it is about the name, but
it does feel like the name you'd give somebody like in a soap opera who's the jerk character."
Yeah.
It's kind of got a preppy kind of feel to it.
It does. It's like, it sort of feels like one step away from like, you know, Braden or, you know, and no offense to Braden's, but every time, like, there's like a sketch or something and they're going through names like this, I'm like, I'm the second tier. If they keep going with this bid, I know I'm coming up soon.
But there'd be a lot of angry Braden coming our way.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. I love.
Oh, no, they're always angry. So it's fine.
It is. That's true. I think there's a show that I just worked on, the villain character's name, Braden. That's why it's in my head. Not any actual Bradens that I've met.
But, I don't think I've ever met a Braden.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever met a real life Braden either.
Yeah. I think it's more of a last name.
I think so too. I think so too. I also, I mean, the other thing about Jason that I like is the whole Argonauts story, you know, the golden fleece and the, you know, he found this. Do you guys ever see that movie with all the stop motion animation, Jason and the Argonauts?
That was the first movie I ever saw on a VHS recorder.
We had a VHS copy, and you know, like, since his name was Jason, there's a part of me that's like, this is me. And that the whole story, like, I just watched it again recently, and it's very weird. The ending is like, which I didn't ever remember the ending as a kid, but basically the ending is like Jason and Medea are like going off into the ocean together, and Zeus is like, "Well, I have some plans for them. Don't you worry." But it always seemed like kind of a happy ending. And then it was like years later where someone told me that like basically the sequel to Jason and the Argonauts, Medea, is it doesn't work out in their lovely relationship, even though there's no hint in the Jason and the Argonauts movie that anything's going to go wrong or that she's going to kill his kids in the act of revenge. But yeah, I was very surprised to know that that's what's in store for that Jason. This is a bad marriage and revenge killing. It's awful.
But you can't beat that stop motion animation that Ray Harryhausen.
Oh man,
the work that he put into those things, because you know, now they can cheat and make it a little easier. But at that time, he had to just sit there and you know, move everything just a tiny bit at a time.
Oh my gosh. And it really, like, you buy it. That giant statue that moves after the two guys steal something from underneath there's a giant statue that kind of comes to life, and the sound design is so amazing. It's like, yeah, I guess that's what it would sound like, creaking horrible metal, if a giant statue came to life and started to attack everybody. But yeah, that all of his stuff is so incredible. That whole skeleton fight is as impressive and amazing as it ever was. And you're like, what year was this? This is unbelievable. And it wasn't like he was like, oh, I'll do what everybody's been doing. I mean, there are those dinosaur movies, but he really stepped it up.
He sure did. we owe him a lot of, like, you know, these Tim Burton animated movies and stuff owe so much to him.
Mm-hmm.
Jason isn't short for anything either. It's just Jason, right?
It's just Jason. You can shorten it. But you can't really elongate it.
That's another fun thing that some names have, but most names, there's like a longer version, you know.
Are you guys Douglases or?
Yeah.
Both Douglases.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, have we come across a Doug yet who is just Doug and not a Douglas?
I do not believe so. I don't think.
Yeah.
It's like a unicorn. It's very, very scarce.
Yeah, even Doug E. Doug's name is Douglas E. Douglas.
Really? I never knew that. I never knew that. Wow. That is.
And then there's also Douglas E. Freshless. But no, he's. Did we ask him about that? I don't think we did. But Doug E. Doug was one of our first guests on the show. When
it would have to be.
When we first started, we thought we're going to have all the famous Dougs on, but guess what? there's not that many famous Dougs, and of the ones that do exist, they're not easy to get in touch with.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to think of like some of the other Dougs that I've met in life. And it seems like a name that is, I have it in my head as like a popular name, and I could really only think of like two or three other Dougs besides you
that you've met or
met or known, or even, you know, I mean, like if I count the Gary Larson cartoon, Beware of Doug,
right. That's a big one.
I can imagine how that must have felt to you guys. It's very cool.
We almost called that this show was almost called Beware of Dougs, but then I just thought about it and I was like, why? It just sounds, you know, like a reason to not listen, you know, and it's not like we're trying to say, it's not like we're trying to say Dougs are, you know, all terrible, you know, cause that's not true. Yeah. We know it's Jason's that are terrible.
Yes, exactly. This should be a rehabilitation of the classic name Doug on your show.
So who are so tell us about the Dougs that you did think of, that you've either worked with or just know.
Well, so the main Doug that I remembered, and it was funny because I had to like really pull back into the back of my mind. There was a Doug that, first of all, there was a Doug that the camp that I went to, and I only remember that his name is Doug, and that's about it. I'm just like, oh yeah, there was a Doug, but he just sort of, he was just Doug, and he was great.
Just a kid that was at the same camp.
Yeah. And I think we were friendly it's all coming back. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Douglas. I think actually he was one of the Dougs who went by Douglas, or, you know, you could do it either way, but he really reminded me of the littler kid from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You know, there was the kid with the glasses who was sort of very enthusiastic. And that was who, Douglas was to me, just was very sweet and very, it's all coming back. I literally, all I had before this moment was, I know I've spent some time with a Doug at camp, and now I'm like, his face and everything came back. Even his last name.
Well, you know, as a Doug, I think you're clearly on a very nerdy path if you're insisting that people call you Douglas. Yeah. You know what I mean? That feels like something you'd say as you're pushing your glasses up off the end of your nose while wearing a smock and you're about to pour something into a tube.
Yeah, that's like the opposite of Bond, James Bond. Like, no, call me Douglas.
Call me Douglas.
It is. Okay, it is so funny.
We got that nerd from camp, and then who else?
He was great. He wasn't. He just reminded. I think they both had big glasses, but he was very cool. I liked him a lot. But the other Doug that I remember was like an absolute hero to me. And I completely idolized him. He was, in my head, he was like a total grown man, but he must've been at the oldest about 12 when this story happened, but I was in kindergarten and, I was in carpool with, Doug and Rob and a couple other people. And it was the other kids. Mom's turn to drive us home from school that day. It was in our carpool situation. And she got a flat tire and pulled into a gas station and then was like, all right, I guess you guys are going to have to walk home. And, you know, it was like 86 or something. There was no cell phones or couldn't even page my mom. It just felt like it was a very bizarre feeling as a 6-year-old to be like, wait, what? Yeah. We got to just make our own way. And so Doug and Rob, these two 12-year-old kids, basically we walked like all the way down San Vicente Boulevard, walking. We had to walk up this big hill. They decided to go to my house first, 'cause I was the littlest. And, but you know, I was sort of like, oh, I can't go on, leave me. And Doug was like, here, you know, he carried me for like, I went piggyback on Doug for a little bit. And they just both were like, we can do this. Like, let's, I'm sure it wasn't as crazy as I remember. I'm remembering it as like 127 hours level of like survival. but it was like probably a 45 minute walk home. But
at that age though, that's a lot.
Yeah. And it was also weird. Like I knew they were older, but they weren't grownups. And then when I got to sixth grade, I was like, oh wow, this is how old they were when this happened. And I've seen Rob since, and I've been like, you guys were my heroes. And I have never seen that Doug again. In my head, he is River Phoenix from Stand By Me. That's who I have cast as Doug. You're like a similar sort of haircut and like tough, cool Doug who's helping me get home in this weird period of time where the grown-up said, nothing I can do. You got to walk home. very strange. And then my mom drove them home after we got to my house.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That worked out all right.
Keep going, but. it was a bizarre story to remember. I cannot imagine, especially now, although actually now I can imagine even more. I'm like, hey, you got to get home, call your mom, or whip out your virtual reality device that you probably have.
Yeah, like how do you give a phone to a kid like as soon as they can talk these days? Like at what point?
I don't know.
I know it used to be like, oh, you have to wait till you're older, but like it feels like it's a safety issue for a kid to have a phone.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like, I wonder if they've invented yet some kind of like kid safe phone.
Child burner phone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Where you can like, you know, call your parents. But
when there's no Dougs to give you a piggyback ride.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You look around and there's no Dougs to be seen anywhere.
I've finished with my shift. Come get me off this corner.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What about, especially because you followed in your father's footsteps in terms of acting and show business, what were your feelings about the Ritter name? And did you ever have that thing that some offspring go through where they think about changing it so they won't be, you know, judged based on, you know, or compared to their
Yeah. I did think about that in a little bit, and it was weird, like, especially, you know, especially when I would go to camp with Cool Doug. I was listening to this. I just said you reminded me of that kid, but I also thought that kid was so cool and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Anyway, there would be a time, like, especially at camp, not at school because people sort of started to understand, but especially when I would go to camp in Colorado, I would just, you know, I'd go around, I'd introduce myself as Jason, obviously. And there would always be a moment, either like I would get a piece of mail or something like that, where someone would kind of put it together or ask me, and then I'd be honest about it. I didn't want to ever lie about it, but there would always be like a weird thing that happened when people found out, where the behavior would sort of change towards me in a way that I wasn't ever fully comfortable with. And I, you know, I would, like, you know, the first couple of weeks I would have been trying to make friends and try to make people laugh or try to do all my things that would either work or not, when I would try to make friends. But there would always be this weird moment where all of a sudden I would have some, like, kind of new friends with quotation marks who always would sort of bring the conversation back to, like, hey, so you think your dad's going to, like, come for, like, the end of the year ceremony, or like, what's the deal? Like, you think we're going to meet him? I don't care. I don't care about any of that stuff. But I understood that, you know, I fully understood, like, the thing of that it's exciting to hear that. But it felt weird. It made me feel like you don't like me for
right.
me, which always was, like, such an important thing. And I saw other people who, like, thrive on that kind of thing. You know, like, people who, like, say their names in order to get that attention and, like, all that stuff. And I just was like, but then that's all they're interested in. You can't be like, and also I crochet or whatever, you know. It's like, I don't crochet. I'm impressed by it, but I was just trying to think of an impressive thing. But yeah.
I was gonna say, here's my stamp collection. Like, just like, oh, so hard to compete with the famous father when you're just collecting stamps.
Yeah, exactly. I built all of these Legos by following the instructions completely and having absolutely no creativity. What do you think about that? It took me a while. So that was a bit weird. But then I also, I didn't feel like changing it. I felt like, let me just go through this however it goes, and for better or for worse, and just kind of, I'd also felt like, I don't know, I felt confusing somehow, or like I was lying or hiding or I don't know. I just didn't think about it too much.
What's your middle name?
My middle name is Morgan, which is my mom's maiden name.
Yeah, see, so you could have done the classic and become Jason Morgan.
I could, yeah. And in fact, I did a cartoon called Gravity Falls for a couple of years. And the first couple episodes, there was some, like, contractual thing where I was doing this other show and they wouldn't let me do it or something. And I could be Jason Morgan on that show. So for the first couple episodes, I'm credited as that. And it's so funny because it's a show that has all these, like, hidden secrets and things that the creator put in specifically to create, like, conspiracy things. And it all, like, comes together, and it's all, there's, like, hidden codes and secret things. So there are people who are like, why is it Jason Morgan in these first couple episodes? And then it just goes to Jason Renner. Like, what's going on there? It's like, no, that's actually not one of the secrets, guys. It's just some kind of contractual spat that ended up like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. A lot of actors just end up with, getting forced into name situations because the same name is already taken in, Screen Actors Guild when join.
Yeah, that's why I think, because that's why William H. Macy is William H. Macy, because there's a Bill Macy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, which is funny to me because Bill Macy always went by Bill. So it's just like William seems like a different name, but it's not different enough, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there was also a William there too. He had to include the H as well.
Yeah, well, William H. Macy is such a dignified name.
It really is. It really works. It really works for him. Yeah, there probably was a Jonathan Thomas at some point too. That's why we got to put the Taylor in there.
Yeah, I never thought of that particular example, but because also that also just felt like there was a time where a lot of teenage actors seemed to have three names because it just felt like that's what all the teen beat, all those characters all kind of have those kind of names.
And there are certain names that really just flow better with all three, you know. It sounded weird to say Jonathan Thomas. It sounded weird to say Anthony Hall. It's not the same person.
No, it definitely adds like a classiness or at least a little bit more like personality to it.
It does. It really does.
So I think we missed, I think you said there was a third Doug that we didn't get to yet that you know.
I think the third Doug might have been the Doug behind the tree in that Gary Larson cartoon. I think that is the third example I can think of.
Also, well, so the Gary Larson, for anybody that's not familiar with it, the Far Side was, you know, a strip that was a lot of animal humor. But in this case, it was a Beware of Dog sign, but it said Beware of Doug. And then there's a guy hiding behind a tree and like a businessman's like approaching the sign. And, but what's funny to me about what you just said is I never thought about it before, but how are we so sure that that's Doug behind the tree?
Ah,
it could be somebody just warning somebody else about Doug.
Doug's inside the house. That guy's saying, the sign is not putting enough people off. I got to sit here and go, no, really stay away from Doug.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. That's absolutely possible.
Yeah, because that's the thing about his strips is they were quite simple and not a lot of explanation or, you know, the guy's not wearing a little name tag that says Doug or anything.
No, you could read into it.
Maybe the salesman looking guy is Doug.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, you know, coming home to rip this other guy a new asshole for putting up that shitty sign.
That's true. And so he's hiding behind the tree, not because he's threatening, but because he's scared.
Yeah. Oh no, here comes Doug. I tried to warn people about him. I should have warned myself.
I didn't know he would come after me. I didn't ever think that Doug would see this sign and be offended. He's clearly a dangerous enough man for me to try to warn the neighborhood.
That comic strip is our Jason and the Argonauts, you know?
Yeah, like, that Doug? Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever played a Doug in anything, Jason?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I have.
Your name was Todd in something, I think.
My name was Todd, which is... It's
very Doug-like, the name Todd.
It is very Doug-like. I feel like I may have played Todd a couple of times. couple of Todds. Was I Todd in Days of Our Lives? Is that what?
Oh, really? We're going back.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I played a Todd-like character in that. I was maybe Todd or Zach or something like that.
I remember seeing, you know, because I glanced at your credits to make sure to see if there was any Dougs that would pop out, but I definitely remember seeing Todd, but also it's confusing because I was looking at IMDb and it says, why does it say Todd? Oh, now I get it. Or maybe I don't. It says Todd and then in parentheses, 1999.
Oh.
And it's listed as that you did it in 1965, which doesn't seem possible.
That's right. That's because Days of Our Lives has been on since 1965. And they're saying this guy played Todd. I'm sure they had several Todds over the decades. And so this is like, I'm 1999 Todd.
Yeah.
This is a very specific time for Todds in the world.
Like the different Terminators, the T-850, T-1000.
We all are the same soul in that show. It's a very strange, but that, by the way, when those episodes were airing was the first time I had seen the show, and it was so much wilder than I ever thought. I always thought that it was like, you know, affairs and love triangles and drama, but this was like a ghost had a man trapped in a painting and like it was so wild. It was really like curses and ghosts, and it was very spooky. So I, you know, it could be that the reason I'm listed as 1999 Todd is there's a theme where Todds are time traveling, shape-shifting people who can change everything about themselves except for the name Todd. They have to be Todd or it breaks the whatever spell they cast on themselves. I think I think I haven't watched enough of it to disprove it.
Sure. I mean, is that one that just ended or is it still going?
Days of Our Lives? I'm not sure. Yeah. I feel like
I know there's a few still hanging in there, and actually they seem like they're quite popular still. But I don't know if that's one of them.
I feel like if they're still going on, that's one of the ones that would have stayed. I feel like it's just like a juggernaut. It's been going on so strong. It just has an audience that's just in every day, or, you know, enough people and trying a new show and a thing that has worked for this long. It's really amazing. It's like an amazing, what do you call it? Like in a biodome, like an environment. Like, so it's a whole other world. Like they have
ecosystem.
That's what I'm looking for. Yes.
it's its own echo chamber.
It really is. There's like whole magazines that are just for, you know, it's like a National Enquirer, but just for like actors on soap operas, and a whole award ceremony just for, I mean, it's really amazing.
That stuff. I'm going to just go ahead and say that I think the remaining ones are, I think Days of Our Lives still going. I think the other ones are General Hospital, Young and the Restless, and Bold and the Beautiful.
I think that sounds right. I think that's
like about it. I think everything else is gone.
That's so long. Yeah.
Indeed. Doug?
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, no, I just didn't. You'd think those things were going to stick around forever, all of them. It's so crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, game shows are popular in daytime, and now, judge shows are super huge.
Oh, yeah, I do love those judge shows.
And, yeah, and talk shows, you know, it's like daytime is a very, very specific world. It's its own very specific ecosystem, as we like to say. what do you think about our first gentleman, our vice president's husband, Doug Emhoff?
Oh my gosh.
That's a big Doug. You've heard of him.
That's a huge Doug. I cannot believe that I came to the end of my list of Dougs and didn't even think about the first in history. What do you call it? Vice?
Oh, second gentleman, I guess.
Yeah. Second gentleman. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Was that an exciting moment for Dougs across the world?
We were so excited about it. We were like, now is the time to start a podcast about Dougs. now that this guy's in there. But
he seems awesome.
Do you envision yourself ever meeting Doug? Like, have you ever like been to the White House, that kind of shit?
I visited many years ago. I went to with this group called the Creative Coalition. We went and talked to a bunch of senators about basically keeping arts funding in the schools. And I'm so bad at that stuff. I became like the stats guy. I was like, now that other people have talked eloquently about why it's important, did you know that 70% or whatever, like I just had my little book that I would read out a couple things and then let everybody else do better. I just would get super nervous and But yeah, I've been a couple of times. It's bizarre. It feels strange. Everything about the sort of the White House and the Capitol building and all of it, it's like, oh, this is in this country. I guess growing up in Los Angeles, there's not that yeah. many old buildings. So you're like, oh, wow, we do have some things that have been here for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have, you know, in LA, we don't even have a state capitol because it's, for some reason, it's in Sacramento. Yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. so just walking around DC every time I go there, maybe back there in October, but every time I'm there, it's just, it has like kind of like a Disneyland kind of feel to it. Like, well, these things are just here, they're just rides and attractions, basically. But they're doing the real work inside those places, you know, and a real insurgence yeah. occurred at one of them last year.
I know. I can't even believe that. That was so insane to watch.
Oh yeah. So DC is a trip, but we have prepared for you, Jason yes. Ritter, five questions. Doug's got five questions and the other Doug have five questions, and we'd like to ask you those next. Awesome. You're into it? Okay, good. We're going to do that. We'll do that right after the break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
We are back, and Jason Ritter is a willing participant in 5 and 5. I don't know what question Doug has written down. He doesn't know what questions I have written down. Usually we don't overlap too much, but just really quickly before we do that, we would like you to
eat some leftovers.
We didn't get to Steve Agee. We talked to him so much in the first part of the show last time when he was on a few weeks ago that we didn't get to his questions. We didn't get to the prepared questions for Steve. And we don't like to let things go to waste, especially in this economy. So would you mind answering Steve Agee's questions first?
Not at all. I would be honored.
Do you know Steve?
Yeah, he's actually one of the few people I've seen recently. Because he was up in Vancouver for quite a while too. So he came over and we hung out and we leave Marco Polos for each other. He's a great, great man.
Yeah, Steve was up there for a while filming Peacemaker, the new Peacemaker series.
Yeah,
so that's great. You guys were able to hang out.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really great. Yeah.
So you'll have extra insight into Steve for answering these questions. Of course, you can answer them from your perspective or or from his or both, however you feel like it. Doug Mellard, go ahead with the first question for Steve.
All right. aside from Suicide Squad, which you were in, what is your favorite superhero movie?
Ooh. Oh, boy. Yes, I am in superhero. I mean, Suicide Squad. my favorite superhero movie. I can't be in Steve's head for this, but I gotta say that I love that first Batman movie so much with Jack Nicholson and Jim Basinger and Michael Keaton. In a strange way, even though I've really enjoyed all the Batmans, Michael Keaton has remained my Batman. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, yeah, he's the real one for me. I just and the performances were also great in that movie. It was so funny, all the, you know, the smile gases and the makeup, and all the people on the TV can't wear makeup, and that's fun. And Jack Nicholson is so incredible. It's always so amazing to see these like truly incredible actors do these wild, like Dick Tracy, you know, like just you're like, that was Al Pacino. Holy cow. That Dustin Hoffman. It was in Dick Tracy. It's just so fun to like see them get to do crazy fun stuff. And he was really so terrifying in that movie too.
They don't really do, you know, there's less of that now of actors like, you know, putting on, you know, crazy makeup and costumes and stuff and really going over the top. I mean, I guess it still happens, but, you know, yeah. I guess part of the issue is just casting has just become more about, you know, giving people a chance to play the roles where it's, you know, where they've lived that life, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also I feel like a lot of, you know, of our incredible actors of that generation, kind of do things that are comfortable, but it's fun to see like Robert De Niro when he's in Analyze This or something like that, sort of poking fun of himself and then being able to go back in and do like whatever else. He's always so amazing, but it is fun to see someone kind of break out into a different, like I would have never expected him to be in a big comedy movie where he's like crying, doing all that stuff, especially after like seeing his stuff in Cape Fear and all the truly terrifying things that he can do.
Yeah, it's interesting because De Niro is so funny in so many movies, but like it also, you know, for me, he ended up, you know, being too good at comedy to maintain being like a scary figure, you know, like in The Irishman, I didn't find him as intimidating as I think, you know, obviously the movie wants you to, you know, to think of him. I just think of him more as just this sweet man who says fuck Trump every time he goes out in public now.
that is truly amazing part of his
he's just so blunt about it. It's funny.
Yeah, he's like and in such like an old school way. He's like, he's a punk. He's a,
you know, yeah. It's a very, very in line with Joe Biden. I bet you Biden and De Niro would have a very fun time together.
Banter, yeah.
I want to see this.
All right, here's my first Steve Agee question. At what age, because I'm always curious about this with people that are, you know, very tall. At what age did you realize that you were tall?
As Steve Agee, I'm going to say 13.
That's when that happens? Because there's a growth spurt there and suddenly he's just taller than everybody?
I think it's either the growth spurt or it's like, at least for me, Jason, now I'm Jason, I'm not Steve anymore. that's when I started to get really conscious of the things that were different about me.
Right.
And I think like, you become self-aware in a way that, you know, as a kid, you're just like running around, not really aware. And then you're like, oh wait, I'm the only one who has an inhaler. that's weird. So I'm going to guess 13. I'll ask him and see if I'm right.
Yeah, I bet you that seems like a reasonable. I remember seeing a picture of myself when I was 12, like, you know, I was 12 at the time, but seeing a photograph made me go, oh my God, when did this happen? Like, I just, you know, just me and my, just a picture of me and my friend standing there just looking so tall compared to, you know, what we had been just, you know, merely, you know, half a year before or whatever.
That's so bizarre. My little brother, who's now taller than I am, but he was like the last of his friends to go through the growth spurts. It's just like a period of time where all of his friends just towered over him.
Yeah.
And he just was like, yeah, he's the little guy. And
I'm still waiting.
I'm still waiting too. Just want a couple more inches here.
My dad got up like 6 inches one summer. I don't remember which summer, but I remember that summer thinking, this is the summer that's going to happen. And then it just didn't happen. And I was like, oh God, it's just not going to happen.
It's a real bummer. I remember having the same thought. I mean, like, or having a growth spurt and being like, wait until everyone sees me now. But then they all had theirs too. And it was still the ratio was the same. And I was like, dang it.
Come on. Yeah. When I was that age, you know, that's why the picture was so surprising, because we weren't taking pictures of ourselves constantly. Right. You know, there wasn't constant, you know, there's home movies and some photographs that were, you know, developed at the, you know, photo developing booth.
Well, I mean, even home movies, it was just like, you know, I remember my mom took so many home movies, but you couldn't just like sit there and watch it. I gotta go.
Oh, so just so such endless, you're just filming endlessly, like nothing is happening. It's like, okay, I see what we all look like. What is there any other reason to watch this?
Exactly.
All right, so Doug, go ahead and give your second Steve Agee question, or did you just do your second
one? No, here's number two.
Okay,
because he played King Shark or King Shark's body. How do you feel? Thoughts on sharks in real life? You terrified? You like them? How do you feel about sharks?
I, as Steve Agee, like sharks.
Really?
Yes. I know Jason is a little bit scared of sharks, but I do feel like, and maybe it's only because the movie came out and I really embodied this, but I feel like I could swim alongside a school of sharks and they would accept me as one of their own.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I'm more aligned with Jason here for sure.
Me too. And I would suggest if Steve is listening to this, to not do that, to not test that out. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want him to go, actually, that does feel true. Let me give it a shot.
Yeah. Jaws, like a lot of kids, Jaws ruined the ocean basically for me.
Same.
Everyone was so scared of the ocean because of that movie. But similarly, everyone else was also very scared of religious stuff because of The Exorcist.
That's true.
And since I wasn't really, I wasn't a terribly churchy kid and, I grew up in San Diego, so we were at the beach all the time. So like, I definitely was more scared of sharks than of, my head spinning around or whatever.
Demon
being possessed. But
but
it was a weird time that a movie, like, I wish there was a movie that could just come out today and make the entire country scared of, not wearing masks and not getting back.
I think it's time to make that movie. That's true. The power of, I was so scared of sharks, but also, I think I saw Child's Play before I saw, you know, Toy Story and things like that weren't out. So the first thing I saw of like toys being sentient was about a murderous little tiny doll that scared the hell out of me. And I really was more kind to my toys than I think a sane little child.
Oh my God.
I was like, yeah. All right, everyone, cool. Everyone's gotten what they needed. little pitter patter of running feet in the hallway. But I think if we did make a movie, we're like, oh, you didn't wear your mask and you got like some horrible disease or something like that, you know, that'd be so, cool to really.
Well, yeah, the trouble is getting getting people to come see a movie that like is clearly going to be that. That was what was so wild about Jaws is that everyone's like, oh, there's this movie that everybody says is going to make me terrified of the ocean and sharks. I can't wait to see it. Why are some people like lined up around the block to be terrified, to have a new fear for life?
A new phobia.
It seems a little intense to me.
It still works too. Like didn't the movie Hostel like took tourism to certain countries in the world? I don't want to add on to their thing, but like there were a bunch of countries that had to like go on like a publicity thing and be like, we don't have secret torture
right.
rooms.
Yeah.
You our can hostels still come here and hostile. Have fun. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
For me, the reason I'm not afraid of sharks is because I'm in the ocean, like not at all ever. But even if I was in the ocean, my philosophy is that the only times people get bitten by sharks are when a shark is swimming along and there's a person in the way and the part of that person ends up in the shark's mouth and the shark's like, what the hell is this? And bites down on it. Like, yeah. I don't feel like they're ever going after a person or trying to eat a person. Like that's not on their, dietary plan or their, they're not predators of people.
Yeah. So, they don't seem to also like there's a lot of times where it doesn't seem like they were, like people get their arm bit off or people get bit in the chest or something. And then the shark's like, ew, this is not my favorite. I'm going to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't even begin to finish the meal. They're really wasteful.
Very wasteful.
If you're going to kill something, you should eat every part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Who raised these sharks?
You
finish what's on your plate. Finish what's on your surfboard.
Such unruly sharks. Just taking bites out of things and moving on. But that's the other thing. Sharks have to keep moving. So, like, that's the other thing about, like, if you just are not in the shark's mouth, it's going to have to move like away from you.
That's why they also say if you come across a shark, immediately start playing a game of freeze tag and just tag it. It'll have to stay still and then it'll just start floating up. Those are the rules.
I gotta write that down. I thought you were supposed to punch them in the nose because they don't like that.
I've heard about punching in the nose for bears and sharks. And to me, that seems like advice. I should look this up because maybe that is the right thing to do. But to me, it seems advice like you're already dead. This is how to make it go faster. Just anger it.
I think you're right about a bear. I mean, the thing I heard about a bear is that if you make yourself as big as you can, it won't want to confront you because, even though it is bigger than you, it's not an unreasonable creature.
It gets confused. Right.
Yeah. But with sharks, you got to see the episode of Mythbusters where one of those Mythbuster guys, I think it's Adam, sits on the ocean floor in scuba gear or whatever.
No.
And sits there and in a pack of sharks and just when they approach him, just punches him in the face. And they'll come back, they don't just go away. They will swim around and come back, but they do swim away every time he punches them in the face. It's really amazing to look at.
That I have never seen that footage, but I'm going to look it up as soon as we're done. That is insane.
It was on an episode of Mythbusters that I just made up. And so good luck finding it.
God,
that'd be
who signed off on
like that'd be such an obnoxious, like especially not telling you what year or what episode. It's like you go through just looking through all of them. Where's the shark punching? But no, they really did do that, and it really does. It makes me feel like that's what I would do if I was in that situation. But again, there's no way I'm going to be in that situation.
Yeah, I guess I'll go back to thinking to putting that on my shark defense moves list.
Yeah. Well, that's the other great thing is to just pass along information that's absolutely unverified.
it's always helpful.
This guy I know saw another guy punch a shark and it works.
And it just feels right. It feels true. So, mm-hmm. That's how we, That's how we decide.
My next question for you, for Steve AG, was Crocs.
Yeah.
For or against?
I feel like for. I feel like, I mean, for this comfort? For comfort and for, I mean, I've worn some, not Crocs, but some other shoes that are made of a very similar sort of rubbery plastic, and I've quite enjoyed them. I've worn them too many days in a row, in fact, but then they're so easy to just wash because you just rinse them off and they're fun to go in water and come out and they dry fast. And I think Steve and I are similar in this way. We're like, this is functional and this works.
Did you guys, when you were together in Vancouver, just sit around in Crocs, just talking about how fast they dry?
I would have. I mean, I love talking about Crocs. I mean, Crocs are also I don't own a pair of Crocs, but I do like that thing of like, there's some holes in these shoes and you can put little, you can make them your own, like a 12-year-old's backpack. You can just angle some things down. And
I've got some very ugly Crocs that I just wear them to go to the pool, but they're just the ugliest color. So I really am on the verge of, I think I'm going to bedazzle my Crocs.
I think it's, at a certain point, you're certainly not wearing them for anybody else. They're for you. So why not? Why not bedazzle them?
I'm going to do it today.
Please. Please.
All right. It's your turn, Doug.
All right. You were in a film called Aliens, Clowns, and Geeks, about an out-of-work actor that stumbles upon the key to the universe and is drawn into an intergalactic war between clowns and aliens. And I got to know, who won, the clowns or the aliens?
Oh my gosh, I want to see this movie so bad. I mean, I remember shooting it because I'm Steve and I'm in it, but I want to, that sounds amazing. I'm going to say, in a lot of these like fighting movies, I'm going to say the clowns win. I'm going to say it would be, why are they? There's got to be something about them that's not just like people who have been passionate about the art of clowning. And there's got to be something. If they are clowns, that means that's not like makeup. They've got to be some kind of creature, right? That just comes out as a clown. I'm guessing here. Or maybe it is people who like went to Russia and like really studied the old, the old art of clowning, or are they rodeo clowns? I can't remember because it's been such a long time since we shot. I'm going to say the aliens won, actually. They got me.
Aliens, boy, you switched.
I did switch. I've been thinking about it.
Are you a big clown fan?
I like clowns. I like certain clowns.
All this talk about clowns and aliens and stuff made me realize that another thing that might be weird about the name Jason is the Friday the 13th movies.
Oh yeah, that is true.
Did you get a lot of grief for that?
I did. I every Friday the 13th, there was like, hey, where's your hockey mask and stuff? and it, I'm sure.
And like, you're like, shut up, mom.
I think with every name, there's like one or two jokes that people just assume like no one's ever said this to you before. And you're like, this has literally been the thing since I was six or whatever it is. Maybe not six for Friday the 13th, but since I was 12. But then I got to, I really got to face him down in Freddy versus Jason. I got to say, hey.
Yeah.
Now
that's
it's
right.
My turn. But then there was also another sort of humiliating thing, because instead of either calling him Ken on set, because that was his real name, and calling me Jason, or calling him Jason and calling me Will, they just called him Big Jason and me Little Jason. I was like, what? It's his character. Why does let's do characters or real names. Why do I have to be Little Jason all the time? It doesn't feel nice.
Is there an official winner at the end of Freddy versus Jason?
There is. The guy with the cooler name comes out on top. but then Freddy gives a little wink. And so you're coming back.
You're not
like,
done
he won
with
this
yet.
Round, but yeah, exactly.
You're still going to have dreams. Like, that's the thing about Freddy to me is like, why be scared of him? He's just a guy in dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is why I was so scared of him. Cause with Jason, I was like, just start running. He's not a quick guy. Just run out of the park. Get to a car. But Freddy, you're like, I've traveled across the world, but I'm gonna fall asleep at some point, and he's gonna
there's no getting away from him, but also just wake up.
Yeah, get some no-dos.
Yeah. You know, I feel terrible because our time is up and we've had so much fun with you answering Steve's questions. We didn't even get through all the Steve's questions. But thank you for being such a good sport about it.
Yeah.
And what is there, what's there going on with Jason Ritter that you would like to plug or promote?
Oh boy. Well, there's an event on October 16th. That's a fundraiser for Huntington's disease that I'm really trying to get as many people. It's a free event. You can just go online. And if you go to where I'm tweeting about it all the time, so people go online and sign up, and then season two of Raising Beyond is going to come out at some point in the future, but I don't know exactly when.
Where is that at?
That's on Netflix. So I think it'll be at the beginning of this next year.
Yeah, Netflix is like, they play real fast and loose with release dates. You know, they like to sense the mood and then just throw something out there.
Exactly. Exactly.
You got anything to plug, Doug Mellard?
I am in Philadelphia at the Punchline with Dan Cummins. You can catch us tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, the 10th and 11th. And I've got that new album out called I'm Worried About Me. Buy it, stream it. Rate, review it, and thanks for picking it up if you already have.
Like I mentioned earlier, I've got shows coming up in both Rosemont and Chicago this weekend, Sunday and Monday. DougLovesMovies.com for all of my dates and things that are going on. Jason, we end every episode, and thank you again for being here. You're a great, great guest.
Oh, thanks.
We end every episode by just giving the show a name that's some sort of Doug pun that has something to do with the guest. So I was thinking it'd be fun to call this one Doug Probably Saves the World.
I like that. I really like that.
All right, good. We're replacing Kevin with Doug, and then probably's in parentheses. I'm just saying all this so that producer Ryan knows what to call the episode. until next time, as always, Doug Probably Saves the World.
Got it.